nor things present, nor things to come, nor catastrophe, nor humanitarian crisis, no oppression, no depression, no twisting of the truth, no identity crisis. Nothing can come in and stand against who Jesus Christ is, because the one who is in you has already defeated that. So if you are walking around feeling the tug of the world, and you're feeling more tugged by the world than you are of God, you are not accessing the power that is already within you, that has already defeated the thing that is coming against you. And if we can't begin to walk into that and begin to walk in the power, love, and self-discipline that the Spirit of God has given us, we miss out on the inheritance that we have as the saints to begin to walk in the way God has called us to walk. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if you feel like you are on your last leg and you feel like, I can't stand anymore. The great thing about it is His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And it is an opportunity for God to show Himself strong on your behalf. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if you're feeling, I feel abandoned again. Well, aren't you glad that He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I'll let Him go just to show you that I'm always going to be with you, that I'm never going to forsake you. Some of you need to hear that today. God's just saying, I just want to show you that I'm with you no matter what. No matter what. Even in the darkest moments of your life, I'm speaking to you. In the crushing, I'm with you. In the waiting, I'm with you. In the turbulence, I'm with you. When the heat rises, I'm with you. When the sun sets, I'm with you. When they don't like you, I'm with you. When they do like you, I'm with you. It doesn't matter whether you have it all together or you don't. Whether you have much or you don't, He said, I'm with you. And that is the hope that we have as Christians in this house. If you call yourself a Christian, that is your hope. That hope does not disappoint. And whatever is causing you trouble, God said, I'll cause it to work out for your good. I'll cause it to work out. And listen, if you're trembling at it now, just wait. You'll be walking over it. You'll be walking over it. And listen, you're going to be walking over it. If you overcome it, you're going to overcome by my blood, but by the word of your testimony that said, yep, He did it for me. He did it for me. Because all it is, yes, yes, yes. Come on, just fill this house with praise today and thanksgiving. Just fill it with praise and thanksgiving. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All it is a light affliction. It's just light, a real light. No, it's not light. It's light. Compared to what He's doing that has eternal value, it has nothing compared to what you're going through now. If you look at it through the eyes of eternity, your perspective will change. So I'm telling you this, it's not that bad. When you put it in perspective of, I know where my eternal home is. It's not here. I am saved, and God has given me a new nature and a new name, and I'm not staying here. So when my eyes can shift and can see the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I can shed whatever's trying to hold me down and whatever's trying to get my eyes off that and say, no, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready because I know where I'm going. So that's why when things come into your life, it's nothing. It's nothing. Even though it's something. It's nothing. Because it has to contend with the power that's working inside of you. And when it comes in contention with the one that's inside of you, it can't stand. I don't care what agenda tries to rise up. I don't care what plan tries to rise up. It cannot stand under the power of who Jesus Christ is. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Even the shadows can't deny. There's the King. There's the King. Even the shadows, even your doubt can't deny. There's the King. Even your frustration can't deny. Oh, there's the King. Even your wandering can't deny. There's the King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing gets by Him. Everything has to bow before Him. He bows before no one. No one. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. No one tells Him what to do. And if you think this is wrong to preach with fire, this is what God's heart is for his people. Nothing that is coming against you, he said, will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, you will be able to condemn, because it's your heritage. Church, I want a church that is filled with power, that is doing the things that I've called it to do, not walking around in mediocrity, walking around wondering whether or not God's going to come through. This is not your inheritance. Your inheritance is to raise up and to rise up and be the people that I've called you to be. Don't step back in fear. Rise up in faith, oh church. Rise up. Be the church. I'm coming back for you. This is your time. Don't let anybody ever tell you different. It's your time. But something happens when the word is preached and the word goes forth. It doesn't happen during worship, because it's the word that cuts away the lie, and people can get free just sitting in their seat. And so sometimes you'll see people praising God and crying because God is releasing them from things that have been holding them. And so we have to get back to allowing the Holy Spirit to take over the service and not just a part of the service. That's why we don't just do things. No, it's intentional what we do, but we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he has to do. And so if it's conventional all the time for you, then sometimes you'll check out. You'll check out. Well, that's just the way it is. And so if God wants to speak a word to you toward the latter part of the service, he that has an ear, let him hear. You can get through the whole time, and what you need to hear is at 11:27. This is the church of the New Testament was walking in power. Walking in power. Miracles were happening. Signs and wonders were following the preaching of the word. People were getting healed. They were getting delivered. Things were happening back then. That is the church. That is the church. And we have been put in a place today in this world, and we have a position that God has called us to occupy in this world. And I would say that the church at large is not occupying the way it should be occupying, because we're so stuck in our own head and we're so stuck in the way things should be that we can miss the move of God because it's not the way you think it should be, or it's inconvenient, or it's uncomfortable. And God was saying, listen, when has it ever been convenient or comfortable to be mine? And so what you try to do is you try to box him up just because everyone else is trying to box him up to try to fit him in so it could suit their needs and how it makes them feel. That is not a thriving and an alive church. An alive church is allowing God to be God and letting him loose to do what he has to do without fear of what it looks like. Well, no, it gets you crazy. Without fear of what it looks like. Do you think people overseas right now are concerned with how church is going in America today? Do you think people are under the impression that they have it worse off than we do? Do you think people are missing out on the move of God or the purpose of God just because of the suffering that they're going through right now? People are going through unimaginable suffering and fear right now, all in the name of being a Christian, but also standing up for what they believe is right. And so if we can't undergird them and pray for them in the midst of this circumstance of trouble, we're not doing our job to pray for those that are in suffering, those who are in prison, because they are in the thick of the fight right now. And the power of God, even as we do this today, can be released and can go and do what it has to do around the world, because he's not confined by a building. He said, I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. So what you speak today and over the internet, it can go out to all four corners of the globe and set people free just because of the power that's behind it. That's who he is. So let's not put God in a box and think that he can't do it. I don't care what it looks like. What's happening in Afghanistan right now is not a surprise to God. It is something that has been unfolding and unraveling for years. And God's going to make it work out according to his good plan and his good purpose. As a Christian, what it should do, it should excite you to begin to know that God is working and doing something in the world today and setting it up. Not regress back in faith and being like, well, that's just the way it is. No, that's not just the way it is, because if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, you know that something's going on. Sin becoming a reproach, and you have righteousness on the other side just waiting to be exalted. Just waiting. Waiting. On the sideline. But if as a church we don't do what we know to be true to do, then all we do is we stay on the sideline and sin begins to magnify itself and it becomes a reproach. So much so that it becomes sickening to hear what's going on. Sickening. So that's what you hear right now. It's sickening. So they're doing what now? Yeah, it's sickening. Because there's something inside of you that knows it's not right for it to be turning that way. And it's righteousness that says, hey, I need to be exalted. I need to be let out. And so the way that happens is that you as a body have to stand up and be the church and not worry about the repercussions and the response of what the world is going to do. If greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, what can come against you that's going to hold you down so much so that you won't be able to do what God has called you to do? If God be God and everyone else is a liar, what does it matter if persecution comes if you know that the one that went before you was persecuted and he overcame and he got up and he's doing the bidding of his Father now? What does it matter? What does it matter? If you're looking for a soft God who's just going to let things happen the way they're going to happen and not do anything about it, that's not the God who we serve. He said, I already did something about it. I put something inside of you. I need you to tap in and get it out. Enough. Get it out. And I'm getting it out by hardship and persecution because it's causing you to lean into me. Isn't that what the remedy for sickness is? When you talk about how am I going to get better, you got to get whatever it's inside of you that's ailing you out. So guess what? If it's bitterness, you got to get it out. Because all it's doing is it's growing roots in your life, and everything and anything that's good in your life gets poisoned because of the bitterness. You can't taste and see that God is good because you are tasting it through the waters of bitterness, and it doesn't taste good. But God said, if you allow me to get in and heal their bitterness, you'll begin to see that actually is good. Malia, it was good that you were abandoned at that time in your life because you found me. It was good. It didn't feel good, but you found me. And now you realized that I'll never leave you or forsake you. And it took that to get you to the point to realize that that's who God said he was going to be. And so let's look at it. You're looking at your life the wrong way. They left you, but he found you. Or you found him. And so now you serve a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Because you know what he took you from and what he's brought you through. And now your responsibility is to testify of God's goodness and not be concerned about what everybody else is going to say. What God has taken you from is what God has taken you from. It's your testimony. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4 if we can. This series, if you've taken the time to dive into it, is very revealing and eye-opening when it comes to the heart of God. The heart of God is not what you think the heart of God is all the time. God is not only a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, but he's also a chaser. So he'll chase you down and cause you to remember what he promised you before you left him. And we have a people here in Hosea who have wandered from God and forgotten who he was. And as a result, God goes and tells Hosea, hey, listen, I need you to prophesy to this nation. And by the way, I need you to see some things about my love that you're not going to see any other way. And I'm going to teach you some things about relationships that you're not going to see any other way. Because sometimes we look at relationships different than when God looks at relationships. We cut people off because we don't like them. God says, I'm going to put you right in the middle of where they are and tell you to love them. Because I want you to see how my love is for you when you wander. Because whether or not we want to admit it or not, each one of us wander. And we've all wandered. But it's not until you see the goodness of God that brings you back around that you recognize it's not based upon your faithfulness, but it's based upon God's faithfulness. So if he began a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to do it. And so we pick it up in Hosea 4, and this is a hard chapter. And I encourage you to go back and read it later, because he has a real indictment against a certain people here, and we're going to go into it a little bit here. Hosea 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, there's no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. You make vows. Anything else after that? Okay. He goes down after this, and he begins to say, there's no reason why you should begin to point a finger at everyone else. He's starting to talk to the priests. And he begins to hold them responsible for what's happening in the land. You're the reason why there's no faithfulness. You're the reason why there's no kindness. You're the reason why there's no knowledge of God. Why? Because you have prostituted yourself with harlots. And you have looked away from me, and you have gotten into relationships with other things rather than me. And you have caused the people to drift because of your example. So if we don't think that God holds leaders responsible, we're mistaken. Things are happening in the land because of your unfaithfulness, your unwillingness to be kind or show loving kindness, and because you're not living right for me, what do you think everybody else is going to do? So we have a responsibility as people to be able to live right, because the way we live affects other people. Well, that's just too heavy for me. Okay. So if you've been given the privilege of becoming a Christian, automatically you've been given the responsibility of living a life that's blameless before him, and so that other people look at your life and see your good works and what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we're talking about a people here that has gone wayward, and some would say that's not fair to blame them. Well, I'm not here to argue whether or not we should blame shift, because God says in 4, it's your fault. And we know that there are issues that come up anytime you begin to blame shift, because no one likes to take responsibility. It's because the way I was made. It's because the way I feel. It's because I never saw that growing up. And because of that, I am the way I am. And there's no changing me. False. False. If you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you've been given a new nature. That new nature gives you the power to say no to sin. That new nature gives you the power to overcome. That new nature gives you the power to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, to get better, to get better, get better. But we want privilege, but we don't want responsibility, because responsibility means that we have to do some work, and that means we have to live right. And God forbid we live right. Because if we live right, that means we actually believe what we're preaching. And it's hard to follow people who don't believe what they're preaching, because it becomes something that is just an afterthought in their life, and all they're doing is selling a product, but they don't even believe in their own product. So I'm a priest, but don't ask me to bring sacrifices because, you know, she's pretty fine. I'd rather forego the sacrifices I'm supposed to bring because she looks good and I'd rather do some things with her. And God said, okay, okay. So rather than be faithful, you'd rather drift and do what you want to do just because it feels good. And I wonder how many, not just in this room, but how many we have in this nation right now who have decided that, I know the purpose of God is what I should be after, but you know what? That looks better for me because it's easier. Maria, put up that scripture for me, Proverbs. Should be next, Proverbs 20. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Who can find? I love you, but are you faithful? Faithful. 19 years this year. I can say it all day. No claps. I don't want to claps. Thank you, though. Okay. I can say I love you all day, but being in it still says more than what my mouth says. I love you, Lord. Don't ask me to give. It's not yours. And some of you in here might be saying, this is not for me today. Just as a reminder, what goes out here goes out. So when you preach, you're preaching to the masses. So you're not looking at yourself like, well, that wasn't for me today. It could have been from somebody else. Because the gospel goes forth in power, and he always tailors it where it needs to go. And the prayer is that you're going to catch something that you need for you specifically, and then you can take it and say, I can apply that to my life. Thank you, Lord. And then move on with your life. But a faithful person who can find, as people leave marriages, as they leave ministry, because of acquiescing to pressure and social norms, you got to be careful. If it's easier for you to succumb to what society is doing, I question the validity of your conversion. You're a priest, you're a leader, you're doing what God's called you to do, but you can't keep your hands off certain people because you have some unhealed part of you that God wants to deal with. So that's why when you talk about people raising up into leadership, you talk about it with caution because you know what it entails. Because you are held responsible to a different level than everybody else is. That's why you don't ask for it. You're called to it. Because of the work that is necessary for you to hold the pressure of success and failure and the ability to withstand temptation. I'm in it because God called me to do it. I didn't run to it because I necessarily loved it. I ran to it because I loved him. And when I realized that I was called by him, then it was a little easier to go in it because he was going to be in it with me. And I have to keep that perspective. So if I don't show up and do what I'm supposed to do, God holds me responsible. And that's the first point. You got to show up in your life. People, I want to win the battle. You got to get up. And you got to show up for Monday. You got to show up for the responsibility that God has given you. I'm trying to win and take back territory in my family. Well, you got to show up and be a father and be a husband. Show up. One of the worst feelings is when someone tells you, and you know how this is, what irritates me the most is when people say much and they don't do much and they don't show up and do what they said they're going to do. And what that does automatically is takes them from one part of my brain to the other part of my brain, and I say, unreliable. And I don't care how good you look and how pretty you sing. Because you have a character issue and deficiency, it automatically takes you out of the ability for me to use you and put you in a position where you can flourish because show up. So that's not you. So don't look at you, boy. You're good. If you say you're going to do something, do it. There's so many people right now who, man, I want to so bad, I just can't. Why does your excuse trump your ability to make change? I just can't do it. Why? Because it's hard? Hell yeah, it is. But this is the reality, right? If you want something to be tickled, you'll put on some Michael Bolton and allow him just to soothe you with that jazz sound in the dentist's office like they always do to try to get you to feel this ain't going to hurt, but it is, okay? And they try to get you. If you want something to soothe you, then be a part of whatever's going to soothe you, but that don't help you because whatever hurts you helps you. I want to get bigger. I want to get bigger. I want to get so big in God that we do great things. Awesome. I want you to handle this suffering. And the way you're going to handle that, I want you to show up every single day, no matter not if they come. I want you to show up on your job every single day, even though they hate you. I want you to show up. I want you to show up every single day and teach those kids, even though you think they're not getting it. I want you to show up and be faithful. Because when you're faithful, guess what? I'll graduate you. But if you bail out, because it doesn't feel good, you'll never make progress because you will teach your feelings that your feelings have more power than my spirit does. And if you can't get your feelings out of the way, you will never grow and see the power that God wants to release in your life. Because God said, I will get it out of the way by allowing you to do it anyway, even when you don't feel it. And something will be produced in you that will help you stay in it. But if you bail out of it, you miss out on the opportunity to grow. So what he's saying is, take the hit. Take it. And I would say this. A lot of people, what they do is they try to sidestep stuff thinking that they're going to graduate quicker. There are no cliff notes. There are no cliff notes to graduating with God. You can read the word all you want, and you can see how God did it. But until you go through it and God leads you through it, you begin to say, all right. I guess the way he says it in the word is going to be fulfilled in my life. That's the way it's fulfilled. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So anytime you're looking for correction or direction or what way should I go, you go into the word and say, okay, what's the word say? Oh, there it is. It doesn't tickle the ear. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And what that does is it connotates that there will be times where you think that he does. And you have to appropriate the word to your situation and show up. I don't want to get up and do it. Guess what? I'm going to get up and do it even though I'm dying on the inside. I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Because he's faithful. And that's where I see the power. And God will say, okay, I get you now. Now you progress. And God will start to move you through things, but show up. Show up. And all of a sudden you start to move through things quick. Just show up. You just ought to get to the point. Hey, it's going to hurt. I'm going to do it anyway. And you can love the process of it because you know, all right, Lord, I see it. It's another opportunity to take up my cross, follow you. I want power, but I can't handle pressure. You can't have one without the other. Lord, I want it. I want to see breakthrough in my emotions, but don't ask me to feel
the abandonment I went through. Because I want you just to do it real quick, and I won't feel nothing. You know how it was when you were a kid? Went to the doctor? You're like, 10 months over, man. 10 months over. You hold no hold, then 10 months over. And all of a sudden they do it. Is it over? Yeah, it's already done. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what happened? It wasn't so bad, right? But you tensed up so bad, it made it worse. When you hold back what God's trying to do, it makes it worse. Because he has to pry you out of the way in order to get to it. And he say, if you just give it to me, it'll hurt, but we'll do it together. But how much tension does God have to fight through in order just to get it? And if you would just release it to him, it might hurt, but it'd be over quicker. How many of you have been around in a cycle? Should have been over a long time ago. But because we keep holding, God has to wait. Because it does mean show up for the work too. Like, I got to show up for the work. So that means every day I get up, guess what? One of the first things I do, I get on the table and allow him to do surgery, so that I can make it through the day. And then when he's cutting throughout the day, I'm okay with it. Because I know it's a light affliction and he's doing it for my good. So because I know he's bringing healing into my life so that I could see better, think better, and be the person that God's called me to do. So the more I can let go of that and just embrace the pain, I'm going to be okay. But everyone wants to avoid it. But this is not very Christian-like to talk about pain. It's very Christian-like to talk about pain because of the cross. And because what's going on in the world right now. People are losing their lives and being beheaded for being Christian. Is that not painful? But you don't get it. You don't understand, man. They don't like me. And we are so enamored with acceptance that we miss out on the joy of being accepted by the only person that matters. And you really can't walk free until you know that you are free. And we know that you are free and that nothing can separate you from the love of God and that he'll never leave you or forsake you, fill in the blank. You never really be free. Because identity cannot be found in someone else or your tweet. We got so many people tweeting, they're not saying anything. You can't. If you will just shut up for a minute, just shut up, you'll learn more than if you actually talked or talk out of turn. Yeah. Jenny, how many times in your class have you told a kid in the back, hey, can you just chill and, like, be quiet? This is like English class. We're trying to diagram, like, some prepositional phrases, and I'm really passionate about this. I am passionate about and, or but, and, yeah, they are. I'm passionate about all this stuff. From is debatable, but I'm passionate. Okay, if you just chill out, there are actually some people in here who want to learn. Because you learn more by keeping your mouth shut and listening. Man, I tell you, everyone wants to, and this is good today, but everyone wants to learn something, but everyone's talking. I'm going to learn something. If you just chill and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about some stuff, you'll learn it. I see that. And then you can speak to it with some form of intelligence because you're speaking through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as opposed to the humanistic viewpoint of mankind. That's why you have to be careful in who you associate with and what you separate yourself from, because it could be easier for you to start to look at it and look at it according to the way the world looks at it, and you're looking at it and doing it according to the playbook like the world's doing it, as opposed to the way God wants you to look at it. And when you do it the way the world wants you to look at it, what happens is there's a dissent that takes place, and you end up battling with truth and lie when you know truth from lie. But because now you're doing something that is opposite than what you normally do, now you have opened yourself up to compromise. And instead of just listening to what the Holy Spirit has told you to do, now you're doing what everybody else wants you to do because it's easier. And easy doesn't mean best. Honestly, never does. And if you think it's possible to be a Christian, it is. And to overcome. But it's not overcoming by what the world is trying to push on you. Because if you have any sense of who the Holy Spirit is, anytime something that comes in and attacks the righteousness that you live by, you automatically see that's not from God, and there's a fight that takes place for you to resist that. If that is not there, then we have to assess Christianity in your life. If inclusivity means compromising the truth, then we have a problem with your stance. You cannot tell me you are a Christian and then accept everything the way it is without some sort of standard to come against it. You can't tell me you are. Because the Lord always brings a standard of righteousness, always, and a boundary that is there for your protection. So if you are fighting against something in your life that you know is God's protection or boundary, it is there for a reason, because it's a standard that He has put up. Don't go against the standard. Don't. Don't try to change gender just because it's something that you think is intellectually possible or popular, because people can't figure out their own identity. That is not your issue or your mandate to change what is already supposed to be natural. Shut up. There should be something inside of you that rises up that when you hear things that are not truth, automatically just say, false. That moves you into the third thing, and stand up. Stand up. If you can't stand up for it, then you really don't believe it. And what we do is we have a lot of people standing up for stuff just because everybody else is standing up for stuff. So. It's popular to be woke right now, but when you really look at the popularity of woke, it is a deception. It's a deception. I'm woke, but you're lost. And your deception is causing everyone else to go that way. So you could be woke spiritually and be in a great place, but when you're woke intellectually, you got to be careful. You can merge the two. You can be spiritually intellectual and be a Christian. But if you go the other way and you try to reason everything that God spoke out in faith, it's not going to happen, because what you do is then you take the natural of order thing, it's like we said before, and you distort it. That's why people have a problem with God, because you're having to believe things by faith and not by reason. You can't reason this into existence. God spoke it into existence. So no matter how much you try to wake up and try to go back and cancel what has already been done, you cannot cancel it. You cannot go back and try to cancel the cross. It's already been done. You cannot go back and try to cancel your history. It's history. It's part of what made America great, and it did make America great, and it's part of what made your life great today. Part of who you are is what you've been through. If I can go back and say, well, would you erase anything? I don't know. Maybe. But not to the point to where I would eradicate every experience in my life, because it gave me the tools and the wisdom that I needed today. If God is the God of yesterday, and he's the same then, and he's the same today, and he's the same forever, can I not believe that that same God who was in that season is now going to do something different in this season, now give me a hope for the next season, and move me into different phases of my life, and know that he's good regardless. I'm not going back to seasons. It's over. And the great thing about that is when God says it's over, it's over. No matter what anybody else says, it's over. I can now move on. And now when God graduates me into this new season, I can look back and I can sing, all my life you have been faithful because of the goodness of God. You have no idea about the goodness of God and what he's done. No idea. And you can say the same thing. You got no idea what God has done for me and the goodness and what he's done. And so when I praise God, I don't apologize for praising God. The way I walk my walk, I don't apologize for I walk my walk. Who I am, I don't apologize for who I am, because I don't have to do that, because I know I've been saved. I've been sanctified. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Only God knows the battles that I've fought and won. Guess what? I have my V card. You know what that is? I'm no longer a virgin. I'm not vaccinated, but I got my victory card. Okay? Guess what? I got them all. I'll show you. I got them all. I'll tell you the story. Which one do you want? When I beat that, or I beat that one, or I got over that, or that one. I'll show you that one. I'm immune to that now. I beat that. That has no power over me. You got anything else? I got my V card. Yeah, baby. Yeah, I got it. What used to intimidate me doesn't. How you doing today? I'm doing great. How you doing? Aren't you concerned? Nah, not really. I'm not concerned because I know who I believe in. I know what he's done. So when I see things that attack the victory that we have in Christ, it perturbs me. Because I see the value of the victory. Oh, if you don't like winning, there's some other teams who'll take you. They'll take you right now. But I like winning because of what it does. Because it brings me to a place of loss and defeat and to a place of victory and strength. And I like that version because that version makes a better leader. Because it's peace through strength, not weakness. And I don't care. Oh, man, come on now. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'd rather be weak. I tell you what, it is awesome to be weak. The feeling I get when I have to take pills every single day just to get me going, to get me sober, not knocking the fact that you might be on them because you need them. But the opposite is just for you to function. At times, for Christians who know better, we got to look at things. Because there are some things God wants to heal that are free from that type of addiction. And rather than do the hard work of letting go, we hold on. Because it's easier to cope that way than to cope Christ's way. Because Christ's way involves death to self and death to what caused me to get there in the first place. That's a hard place for people to get to. But it's a necessary place if you want the V card. I know you're going to tweet that. That's going to be on Instagram today. I know it. But it's okay. I love it. Because you know why? You got to leave with that. Hey, wait. That's trying to come in this way. Time out. I remember what he did. right there. You see that scar? Right there. And that gives me the ability to be able to testify and stand up because of his goodness. Until what you hear becomes part of who you are, it's just a great story. It's just, that's a great conversation piece, man. I'm great. God did it for you, but you know, he hasn't done it for me yet. He can. I don't know. God will never do it for me because, well, keep thinking that way. You know, I know he might. Okay, sure. Until you can start aligning with the way God really feels, you'll never make any progress because it'll be like God will or he won't. And it's like, depending on what day he feels and how God feels, it's like, okay, today he may not. I don't feel great today, but I will. But maybe I will worship, maybe I won't worship. And it goes back and forth, and God says, enough. Get in my word, find out who I am, and start to go to work. Show up. And so what we do is that we have a lot of people, man, come on up. We have a lot of people who, they want victory so bad. I want it. But they don't want to go to practice. They don't want to put in the time to get there. Because it requires work. It requires sweat. Sometimes it requires bleeding. It's hardship sometimes in order to get there because you're practicing. You're getting better. You're getting better. Man, I'm learning it. Oh, I feel stronger today. I beat that. My legs feel better today. My heart feels stronger today. My emotions, Ellen, are more stable today. Oh, I feel good. Why? Because I've been getting in the word. I've been feeling good. I've been following God. And the things he's asking me to do, guess what? I'm doing them. That's what a good coach does. He says, hey, listen, whatever I put in front of you, hit it. Throw your faith at it. And I just do it. And as you begin to do it, guess what? You begin to change a little bit. Physically, you get better. Emotionally, you start to get better because you realize that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, the feelings have nothing to do with it. It's all about, man, I feel good about what God did just because of the strength that he's given me. Once I feel the strength, I know I'm good. That's the key. When I see I'm getting stronger, Sharon, guess what? It's working. It's working. I went up these steps. I wasn't even out of breath. It's working. It's working. Gary, we love you. It's working. It's working. What's working for you right now? And use that as the fuel to keep going. Hold up right now. Hold up. I like this version. And when I feel like God's trying to teach me on something, I'm just trying to listen. Because I'm learning something in that listening. And then when I go and I stand up, I can actually speak what I know to be true. It's a dichotomy of getting better. You look at other things that are not. And it's infuriating. And some people, that would scare people. Because that means, oh man, I got a responsibility to speak up for that. Or is God going to ask me to be a healing agent because of what I went through? Probably. But why not? Why not get to a point in your relationship with God where, like, God, whatever you want to do with me, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Because it's easier that way. Why do we put so much emphasis on being healthy, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Because of the benefits. When you don't have to lean into any of those things anymore that gave you comfort, because you know that there's only one who can give you the comfort. And what I needed, I don't need anymore. But isn't that what you want to be? If you're honest, what I needed, I don't need anymore. It's no longer an issue. Praise God, because of the victory that I have in Jesus Christ now. My V card, I got it. You ought to be stacking those up. It's God, you ought to be just in your pocket, just walking around. I got another one. Dude, you got a big back pocket. Hold on one second. I know I got like 10 of these in here. Hold on. You ought to just be carrying them around. Because you serve a God of victory, not a God of defeat. So if you're looking at, well, I'm just defeated, change your perspective. He's not on the cross anymore. Remember, you fight from a position of victory. We're not trying to get God to the cross so we can get back into heaven. He already did that. I already am fighting from a position of victory. And when that is the case, then I can go out and play free. Because I know that, hey, he's already victory. I might lose some battles. We'll get back up. Try again. I can remember, I'm going to just be honest with you a little bit. I was younger, and I was so crazy. I'm crazy now, but I was crazy then. I used to tell my dad, I said, listen, I was into sports real big, and we used to play sports, and I used to run routes. And I was so crazy. I would do it on the concrete. And I would say, I just want you to throw it as hard as you can at me. Hard as you can. I'd run routes, do my little in route, throw it harder. I wanted it harder, just because I wanted to test myself. And I got to the point where I started doing it on concrete, just falling on concrete. Just wanted to do it. I wasn't going to be afraid of it. Because there was something about the challenge of getting better that motivated me. I didn't want to stay stuck in what I could do at the moment. I wanted to know what I could do. So that's why every time I graduated from, now it's just too easy. I need it more. It's just too easy now. It's too easy. And it's the way God does it. It's too easy for you now. I can't give you what you did in third grade. It's too easy now. I got to give you something else now. So, and that should be the goal. It's victory. It's victory. I'm going to give you victory on this next level. And you got to keep going up. God said, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. Don't you want to keep going? You want to keep going. How? I want to do it better. How do I need to do it better, Lord? All right, challenge me here. Okay. Challenge you and you do it better. You want to be able to say, I'm so free. I got so much victory in my life. No one can take it from me. No one can take it. So anytime the enemy comes in, even remotely trying to lie to me about something, it is a shadow. It is a pinprick of what the actual truth is, and it has no power over me whatsoever. And once you get to that place, you become dangerous. And that's really, in reality, what I'm saying to you right now, you are dangerous. That's why you're being fought the way you are, because of what's inside of you. And so if you can get up, just, hey, all right, I'm dangerous. I know I am. I know I'm a threat. I already know I'm a threat. So, and that poses a problem. And so if I know that God is for me, who can be against me? I'm going to take what he did in my life, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep doing it. Because it tells the enemy that there's nothing you can do that God, number one, hasn't already done and is not going to continue to do for me. And I won't bow to that pressure because you have nothing to offer me that God can't give me. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet if we could.